You or your family suffering with chronic pain, joint pain, or migraines? Did you know that all of these can be traced back to your nerve system? Stop putting band-aids over the issue. Stop covering up your symptom. Address the cause. Solve the problem. Call us at Superior Healthcare, 314-394-1923. Listen to Superior Healthcare every Saturday and call us now at 314-394-1923.
The Superior Healthcare Radio Show at a special time, Saturday at 6 p.m.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Dan Strauss, Ian Geis, and Colin Jeffrey all here with me for the showbiz segment of our show, brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. The original $189 window company, online at windowworldst.louis.com. So, Colin, we have three movies to get to this week, and you've got the one that is probably going to do the best at the box office. It's the new Tom Hanks movie called Inferno.
Yes, it is. It's called Inferno. It has Tom Hanks. It's directed by Ron Howard. It is the third movie based off Dan Brown's novels featuring Robert Langdon, the world-renowned symbologist. So right there, Dan, it's not based on a true story. Because there is no such thing as a world-renowned symbologist.
So is this the Da Vinci Code Part 3?
Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, and now Inferno.
Okay.
The only common thread is Tom Hanks is in them. So Da Vinci Code, that was a worldwide phenomenon when that movie came out. In retrospect, it was a bit long and boring. It was closing in on 3 hours, which
wow.
is... Wow. Yes, which when you think about thriller, 3 hours does not come to mind.
Right.
Angels and Demons was kind of goofy. It involved a Pope skydiving out of a helicopter. So, I mean, yeah, it was...
Really?
I would have loved to see that.
It's goofy. It's zany. It's weird.
Okay.
And then Inferno is probably the most pedestrian of all of them. As opposed to having some large religious order sort of behind pulling the strings. Instead, what this story centers around is Ben Foster. Always a bad guy. He was in Hell or High Water earlier this year. Always plays a bad guy. He's one of these guys as soon as you see him. Plays a billionaire who is bemoaning the fact that there are too many humans on the planet. And we are going to overrun the planet's ability to support us. Because every 40 years, the population doubles.
We have listeners stuck on 270 southbound right now who would agree with that. 100%.
Yeah. Yes.
If we just had a lot fewer of you people, I could be home now.
But he's a billionaire, so he can take care of this. So he develops a virus called Inferno that he will release, and it will kill half of the world's population.
Not a phone or computer virus, an actual virus.
An actual virus called Inferno. Okay. So, hey, isn't that clever? Well, you're asking, how does a symbologist relate to all of this?
Wait, before you get to the Robert Langdon part of it, the Tom Hanks part of it. He decides he's going to release a virus?
Does
he have a storehouse of viruses in his basement?
No, that's where the symbology becomes important, because he's decided he's going to release it at a very specific location.
But how does he have a virus that he can release to the world?
Because he's a billionaire, and he's been developing it. And see, he's a billionaire. You don't need a reason beyond that. This is a Dan Brown novel.
Okay.
Does he develop it himself, or does he have other scientists doing that?
Other scientists doing that.
I was not aware that once you achieve billionaire status, they give you a virus to hold on to, just in case it needs to be released on the
You need to get rid of half of the people. Here you go.
Okay.
Hang on to this for a while.
I found out something ridiculous. Did you know Bill Gates has a card that will get him free McDonald's at any McDonald's in the world?
What?
It was given to him. This is 100% real. McDonald's gives these as gifts. And typically, they are only good. They're to, like, celebrities or really luminaries. They're typically only good in that person's region. So Warren Buffett has one. But it only works...
Why do these guys need free food?
Exactly.
How often are they eating McDonald's, more importantly?
They can't afford a number one.
It's like always you hear when the celebrity is getting comped at a restaurant or a bar. ones with the most money, they get comped.
Yeah. People working paycheck to paycheck who can barely afford to go eat out, do they get a free meal at McDonald's? No. Give it to the billionaires who could buy McDonald's.
I'm going to start putting stuff on a cardboard little placard and say, walk in and say, please comp me.
Good luck with that. Let us know how that works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, billionaires get
Dan,
a free...
Dan is only $999,999,994 short.
Yes.
He has $6.
Yeah.
Which means, by the way, you can afford the damn meal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's fine. So, billionaire Ben Foster says, hey, you know what? I'm going to release this virus. I'm going to do it at a place that is sort of the crossroads of... the world,
Wrigley Field?
I guess, is
tonight at Wrigley Field. Yeah.
Not quite. Of course, it's somewhere in Europe because why not? That's the crossroads of the world,
Mine.
and it's at yeah. Without giving too much, yes, it all takes place in Europe because these movies do well internationally because a lot of them take place across in Europe.
Yeah,
Robert Langdon is involved in this because Dante wrote a poem called Inferno that was about hell.
Yep.
And so, of course, there's some tenuous grasp between, oh, he's trying to bring us into hell because we're currently in hell, so he's going to kill people, so we're not in hell. And yeah, this is the type of deep Indiana Jones works, National Treasure works, and a crummy set of movies, sort of B-movies, and now series called Librarians works, because in each of those movies, the main character has something. Indiana Jones is an archaeologist, so everything he's trying to do has to do with archaeology. He's trying to find something that's gone lost in history.
Mm-hmm.
National Treasure. He's a history buff, so he has to know American history to solve the problem. This is just awful because it makes no sense. It's some biotech nightmare. He's created this ultravirus and they're like, oh, let's talk to a guy who knows paintings really well. And that is so dumb. I'm sorry. It's dumb. And it finally wears through. I'm done with this series now because it's no longer, it's so ridiculous.
Is that Tom Hanks? He's the one that knows all about the paintings?
Yes, he knows about the paintings and poems. And so, yes, but they're not really clues. It's awful. It made sense in the Da Vinci Code because it was like, oh, we're dealing with these people who are trying to hide the bloodline of Christ, of Jesus Christ. So you need to know these things. The big bad government agency in this that's all knowing and they show up in unbelievable places and seem to know your next move is the World Health Organization.
What?
That exactly. That tells you all you need to know about this movie. It's a perfectly safe. There's a couple twists in there.
I can imagine the screenwriter sitting at his keyboard. Okay, who am I going to make evil in this movie? I got it. UNICEF. No, no, no. The World Health Organization. Now we got something.
Yes. And it's just, it's the most boring of the stories. It's just kind of, I've seen James Bond stop a virus, I know, at least a couple times. I've seen other people stop viruses multiple times. I'm not really interested in this story. The other ones, at least, it made sense because there was like a serious connection to the symbols behind it all. And this is just kind of throwaway.
You know what else stops viruses? Vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. Apparently not this one.
Antibiotics.
Whatever. There's a couple twists in there. You'll probably see them, especially if you're familiar with Dan Brown. This is another Dan Brown story with all the twists you'd expect. He's formulaic. There's nothing wrong with that. When you're reading, it's fun. It's page turning, but it's done. There's one more Robert Langdon book, The Last Symbol, Last Something. Yeah, and
but you won't go see the movie they make out of that. You're done.
I'm done. And I think you should be too, but it's a really safe date movie. You can go. You know what you're going to get. It's thankfully under 2 hours, so you're not going to be sitting there for 3 hours. It's benefiting that there's nothing else really coming out this week that's a big wide release. So, yeah, I give it a generous 4 out of 10, and it's because Felicity
Jones
is in this, and she's really good.
Okay.
And I like all of the supporting cast in this.
All right, so Inferno gets a 4 out of 10, and it'll win the weekend?
Yeah. It's going to be up against tight competition, I'm not kidding, for a second weekend from Boo, a Madea Halloween.
Did that win last weekend?
Yes, it beat out Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
Which they also both overperformed. Like. Yeah, Jack Reacher was kind of just, yeah, it was.
If you had a choice between Jack Reacher and Inferno.
Jack Reacher, not even like a question. Jack Reacher.
Okay. I have two movies to tell you about this week. One of them is called Christine. This is not the movie about the car that Stephen King wrote and it was turned into a movie, 30 years ago?
Oh, at least.
Maybe more than that?
Yeah.
This is the true story, Dan. It's a true story.
Oh, wow.
Of a TV reporter in Sarasota, Florida in 1974. Her name was Christine Chubbuck, a name that you would not be allowed to have if you were a TV reporter in the 21st century. You would have to change your last name. Management would make you change it. Mm-hmm. Christine Chubbuck.
Yeah.
Probably to Chubb.
She is played by a wonderful actress named Rebecca Hall, who you may have seen in the movie The Town, which had Ben Affleck and Jeremy Renner about the bank robbers in Boston, and John Hamm was in that as well. And she was very, very good in that. I haven't seen her in anything else that I can recall. But in this one, she plays this reporter who she can't stand the fact that the station. Now, this is 1974. We're talking about 42 years ago. Local TV news was a little bit different. It was much lower tech. They were just changing over from film to videotape. Now everything's digital. But in those days, you actually had to cut the film and splice it together when you went out and did a story. There was only a half-hour local news in the evening, and then maybe you had your national network news, and that was it. There weren't things like the noon news and the early morning news. That just didn't exist at the time. And she's very upset that the station has started to do, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, severed head on the highway. We're going live with the, well, they didn't have live in those days, but we're going to get a reporter out there, and we're going to cover that. She wants to do more issue-oriented stories, not going out and covering a fire or a pickup truck that turned over on a local road, which is what they were doing in Sarasota in 1974. She's also very lonely, and she's very depressed. She obviously has issues with depression. She's 29 years old, about to be 30 years old, still a virgin, doesn't have a boyfriend, lives with her mother, has issues there. She has a crush on the anchorman, who's played by Michael C. Hall. Was he Dexter?
Yes.
Okay. This is true. A few weeks before her 30th birthday, she convinced the station manager, who is played in a terrific performance by an actor named Tracy Letts, who you may recognize from the Showtime series Homeland. He plays the senator on that show. A few weeks before her 30th birthday, she convinced him to let her go on and read some stories recapping the weekend news at the top of the news show. So Michael C. Hall, the anchorman, says, welcome to the 6 o'clock news, blah, 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 blah. And now here's Christine Chubbuck with our news from the weekend. And she read a couple of stories, and she introduced one film piece, and the film equipment didn't work, and she had to stretch. And then she said, this is a quote, in keeping with Channel 40's policy of bringing you the latest in blood and guts and in living color, you're going to see another first, attempted suicide. And she pulled a revolver from below the desk and put it behind her right ear and pulled the trigger and killed herself live on the air.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a kind of legendary moment in television history. And part of the legend goes to the fact that no one has ever seen the recording of this. She had said ahead of time to one of her coworkers at this local TV station in Sarasota, Florida, hey, I'm putting together a reel of my best stuff on the air so that I can send it out to other stations around the country to see if I can get a job. The owner of that TV station in Sarasota had just bought a station in Baltimore that the anchor was going to go to, and she wanted to go as well. And so she said, I'm putting together a reel. Can you record tonight's show? So there was a recording of it. Most nights there wouldn't have been in 1974. Not only did she ask them to record it, but she actually wrote out a press release for the station to release after she killed herself about what had happened, with not much explanation of why she had done it, other than the if it bleeds, it leads kind of thing. Well, here's your lead story. And sure enough, it became the lead story on national newscasts, but they had no video to play because the station manager went down to the control room, got that videotape, and locked it away. And even after he died, his widow, who is still alive, has never released that videotape. So unless you were watching this tiny station in Sarasota, Florida that night, no one has ever seen Christine Chubbuck actually kill herself on the air. When you see this movie, you see Rebecca Hall as Christine Chubbuck actually do that, putting the gun behind her head and doing it.
It's like it's the opposite of Bud Dwyer, which that video's everywhere. the Pennsylvania politician who shot himself.
At a press conference.
At a press conference.
By then, everybody had videotape rolling, and that's why it's been shown over and over again. And there have been a couple of other instances of this. But this one has kind of a legendary status to it. Now, this is a very small independent movie. It's going to play at Plaza Frontenac. It opens today. It is not a great movie, but it's a good movie. I give it a 6.5 out of 10. It is simply called Christine. I will tell you, however, ahead of time,
and there's always a however in life.
Thank you. This is a movie about a depressed woman who's having serious issues at work and at home and in her entire life. There is no pick-me-up moment in this movie. There's nothing you're going to laugh at. There's nothing you're going to smile at. You're just going to essentially see the emotionally draining story of an emotionally drained woman. It's very well done, and Rebecca Hall is very good as Christine Shubik, but I give you that caveat in case you're thinking about going to see it. Again, I rate it a 6.5 out of 10. Now, the other movie I'm going to tell you about is even smaller. Huh. It's called Certain Women. This is a story of three women who live in the same town somewhere out west. You don't have to be specific about where it is because the movie isn't. These three women have stories that don't overlap. It is based on three short stories. I have no idea why anyone thought, oh, these stories are so good, we should make a movie about them and put all three of them in the same movie. The first story is about a woman played by Laura Dern, who is an attorney for an actor by the name of Jared Harris. If you watched Mad Men, do you remember a character named Lane Price? He was the British partner who ended up hanging himself on the show. Spoiler alert. In this, he's not an Englishman, but a good old boy who has troubles, who needs all sorts of help, but the bureaucracy is not letting him get it, and she's his attorney. That's that story. I just told you everything you need to know about the first third of the movie. Now, the middle third, Michelle Williams plays a woman who's building a house in the country with her husband and her daughter. There's some family disharmony, and there's a weird old rancher who sells them some rocks. I'm not kidding. That's all that happens in the middle third of this movie. And in the last third, Kristen Stewart, this is a pretty good cast you have here.
Yes.
Kristen Stewart plays a young lawyer who at night teaches a class and falls for a young rancher who is one of the students in her night class. And they go for long drives where nothing happens. And their conversation is boring. And they drink a lot of coffee. And they have sex. And blah. This is the most boring movie I've seen in months. It's called Certain Women. It barely registers a 2 out of 10. It would be a 1 out of 10, except the cast is good. All the performances are good, but there are no stories here that you would ever want to hear. If somebody told you one of these stories, you would never repeat it.
Well, you got to hand it to the guy for selling rocks.
He's the only guy who profits in any way in this movie.
Yeah.
It just, again, it's probably going to play at the Tivoli, and it'll be out for a week, and then it'll go away, and you will have never heard of it before. So Certain Women, if it makes $1 million at the box office combined, I would be shocked.
Okay.
Although, I will say, there are film festivals where this thing was a hit, and some of the critics loved it. I don't know what's wrong with those festivals and those critics.
Mm-hmm.
Not worth your time. 2 out of 10 for Certain Women, 6.5 out of 10 for Christine, and 4 out of 10 from Colin for Inferno. Now, let's take a break. We'll come back. And because it's Halloween, can you quickly throw together a list of the, like, scary movies that we can
recommend? Yeah, some of my favorites, yes.
All right, we'll get to that in just a moment here. And we've got some TV stuff and other showbiz things ahead on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, it's Jim Weiland, and he's in the air in a plane looking down on traffic.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting with the vice president in town. They've got all these restrictions, but they're letting us through, so nice to have some clout. If you're traveling on westbound 44, you've got an accident at Southwest Avenue, and that's got the two right lanes blocked, and they also have the ramp to Southwest completely shut down. That's got traffic backed up pretty heavy now approaching Kings Highway, and a lot of volume going that way. So I'm looking at Highway 270 now. We're jammed up from Page down through Manchester, and things open up after that. We do have eastbound 40 downtown jamming up from Grand to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 40 drivers, you're slowing from Boyle out to McCausland. We have eastbound Highway 270 drivers, you're slowing now as you approach McDonald, goes through New Florissant. This traffic report brought to you by Staples. They have low prices every day on the office items you use most, like ink and paper. See store staples.com for special deals and additional savings on printers, ink, and toner. Staples, make more happen. I'm Tim Weiland with your Vincent Mortgage Airborne Traffic.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095.
Green and Tea!
The Tigers play here on KTRS.
This is Howard Richards. It's the final week in October, and this weekend, the Mizzou Tigers try to avenge last year's loss to the Kentucky Wildcats.
To the 20, to the 10, to the house!
Pre-game starts Saturday morning at 9. Kickoff at 11 on your home for the Missouri Tigers.
Touchdown, Missouri!
The Big 550, KTRS.
We are Mizzou.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Lewis.
A show business icon is coming live. The St. Louis International Film Festival presents An Evening with Jerry Lewis.
Ordinarily, I do not like to deviate, but I've been a deviant for some time.
Jerry Lewis, Saturday, November 12th at the Family Arena. An evening of jokes, songs, and incredible stories from a lifetime of show business.
I'm not well. Do you have a mind off?
Tickets available at the Family Arena box office or online at MetroTix.com.
I think I'm crazy.
The King of Romance, Engelbert Humperdinck, performing his greatest hits live in concert.
Please release me late.
The Family Arena, Friday, November 4th. Tickets on sale now at the Family Arena box office or online at MetroTix.com. An Evening with Engelbert Humperdinck. For more information, see Engelbert.com. Presented by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Where did all of the $189 windows go? Are you kidding me? Inferior windows never last. My name is Julius Krasanik, and after 44 years in this industry, I know windows. Our company is Wholesale Siding Depot, and we sell freedom of choice, including Viwinko windows featuring one-frame technology and Anderson wood and composite windows and doors. Our selection of windows are all Energy Star compliant. Great-looking, fresh and up-to-date, durable, energy-saving windows and doors with vivid, stunning, bold, and dark colors, including high-performance glass, noise reduction, low air infiltration, hardware options, and internal blinds between the glass. They make $189 windows obsolete. Our employees at Wholesale Siding Depot have over 180 years of combined industry knowledge. We recommend local professional contractors to install your windows and doors. Visit our website at WSDepot.com. That's WSDepot.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 1-800-460-5733. That's 1-800-460-5733. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 1-800-460-5733. 1-800-460-5733. That's 1-800-460-5733. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Katie Stewart's campaign received hundreds of thousands in campaign cash from Chicago political boss Mike Madigan. It's no wonder Katie Stewart supports Senate Bill 231 to bail out Chicago, taking $20 million away from Metro East schools. If Madigan and Stewart win, they'll pass Madigan's unbalanced budget. That will force a massive tax hike on Illinois families. Now she wants to be state representative? No way. A vote for Stewart is a vote for Mike Madigan. Vote no on Katie Stewart.
Dwight Kaye is bringing common sense back to state government. Kaye sponsored legislation to prevent lawmakers from getting paid if they don't pass a budget. He even cut his pay and refused the pension lawmakers receive. Dwight Kaye supports term limits on career politicians and will continue to expose corruption in our state government. This year, Kaye secured more money for our schools and supports a plan to make sure our schools are fully funded every year. Dwight Kaye for state representative. He's working for us in the Metro East. Paid for by Citizens for Kaye.
Hi, Mike England, president of St. Mary's High School. Our annual open house is scheduled for Sunday, November the 6th from noon to 4 p.m. And this year, we'll be raffling off two $1,000 scholarships for prospective students attending our open house that day. You do not need to be present to win. Be a part of the tradition that creates tomorrow's business, athletic, and civic leaders such as Frank Bomarito, Denny Long, Joe Garagiola, John Berner, and Mayor Francis Slay. St. Mary's High School, our side, South Side.
Listen up, homeowners. Contractors and do-it-yourselfers agree E&B Granite has had the largest collection of the best quality granite available in St. Louis for years. And now, with their new 50,000 square foot showroom, you'll be able to choose from all the top brands, including Caesar Stone, Silestone, Polar Stone, and more. When you visit E&B Granite, ask to see the new look of brilliant quartz for your kitchen or bath. E&B Granite at the corner of Manchester and Hampton, or online at ebgranite.com.
Weekday mornings at 6:35. Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Are you prepared for the next market crash? Do you think you're overpaying in fees? Well, listen to Rethinking Retirement every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. with your host, Marvin Mitchell. This is the show that we position you for a safe and secure retirement.
What is this, Dan's bass lessons?
Yeah.
Seriously, what is this?
It is Yes, Into the Lens.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
I tell you what, I wish I was like Chris Squire. He died earlier this year.
Yeah, he did. This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris, Ian Geist, Dan Strauss, Colin Jeffrey, talking about showbiz stuff. Colin, if you'll pardon me to step away from you for just a second here, I got to ask Ian about Survivor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you watching this season?
Absolutely.
Did you see it this week?
I did.
How about Michaela?
Yes. We talked a little bit about her off the air last week. I'm a big fan of hers, the way that she's playing the game.
I'm a little worried that the others are going to realize what a huge threat she is in the game.
Yeah, she's kind of flying under the radar so far.
Although she speaks out a little bit too much about her talents and abilities in front of the other people, and she's got that cocky confidence that could get her in trouble, don't you think?
Yes, yes. As always, that always comes into play.
But weren't you happy to see those two idiot
the couple
broken up?
Figtails?
Figgy and Taylor.
Yes, they were
Figtails.
They're a show couple. They're one of the few times in the show history where two people actually decided during the show to start a relationship, and it always ends so well.
Yeah,
on a show with everybody, each vote being so precious and counting, and then you have a block of two that can vote however they want.
Which Jeff Probst feels free to point out over and over again in front of everybody else, as if the other people who have watched Survivor their entire lives, these millennials, this show's been on pretty much their entire life.
Exactly.
They could be in their mid-20s, which means Survivor came on when they were 9.
Right.
And so they pretty much have been watching this. They know everything about it, and they know that the showmances, or
right.
as one of the other yes. people said, I don't know if it's a showmance or a bromance, or I'm just going to call it a manse. Whatever their manse thing is never going to work out, and we know that from the history of the show. I think it worked out once with Rob and Amber. They ended up winning. Ended up winning the $1 million, and they came in second, and they got married. But that's about it. Anybody on there you do not like and want to see off that show as soon as possible?
Because I thought you were going to ask me who I wanted to see win.
Well, I'm rooting for Michaela now.
Yes, I like her. I like the male model,
Ken,
who's kind of a. He looks like, you know, he would be a dumb model, but he's actually a pretty smart guy.
He actually looks a little John Hamm-like.
Yes. Yeah. I dislike. I'm trying to think. No, not, I mean, there's not really a really obnoxious person besides those two.
Yeah.
But they weren't really obnoxious. They were just ditzy.
You know, living in their own world completely.
Yes, exactly.
Which is fine.
Yes, right. But no, I don't think there's a villain this year.
No.
You?
No, I don't.
And they usually try to, they usually want that. They usually want that,
to build
that
a story
Russell Hands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The all-time villain on that show.
Right.
He passed Richard Hatch, who was the original villain on there. You're absolutely right. All right, while we're talking about TV, let me mention tonight's a new Shark Tank.
Love it.
On tonight's episode, I don't want to spoil anything because I haven't seen it, but I heard Mark Cuban gets so PO'd at the other sharks, he walks off the set.
Beautiful.
Whoa. Hey,
there's something between him and Kevin O'Leary that goes into a shouting match, and he
Mark is my favorite shark on that show.
He's the best.
Before we carry on, Colin, did you see Designated Survivor?
No, I have not watched past like the first episode.
Really? I'm caught up. I'm watching it.
Oh, did you like it this week?
I did.
This week?
Yeah.
We watched it. We got back to the room and at Planet Hollywood, and we were popping around, and I completely forgot it was on, and so we watched it.
Vegas is wild. We got back to the Planet Hollywood Hotel and watched some CBS drama.
It was 10 o'clock at night in Vegas. We thought, what's on TV?
Yeah.
The city never shuts down.
No, it doesn't.
This is what happens when middle-aged couples go to Vegas. The clubs are opening up. The millennials are all in there.
Exactly,
it's like Survivor. The millennials are partying, and the Gen Xers are...
What else are we going to do?
Watch Designated Survivor.
Let's see if we can stay awake through this.
I'm glad we watched it, though.
I want to see more of the Maggie Q character. You know, the FBI agent, FBI agent is looking into things.
Yeah.
I want to see more of her in that investigation on that show.
I do, too. I'd like to see her. You know who I don't like is that woman, congresswoman or senator?
Oh, the one played by Virginia Madsen.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 She
might be the villain on the show. We'll see, but I'm with you. I'm enjoying it. And while we're speaking of TV, I got to mention, I've given up on Westworld.
Oh, that's a shame.
After four episodes, are you watching it?
I love it. I've liked every episode more, and I can't wait to see what happens next week. I think we're finally going to get the showdown we've been waiting for, if you're watching the show, between the Man in Black and Anthony Hopkins' character. I think we're going to get the showdown between them, and that is the central question.
They're just ignoring you.
I know.
Who is the Man in Black?
Hey, buddy, come over here.
No, it's not Johnny Cash. It's not.
What made you give the fact that there were so many questions and it seemed to be sort of not answering
those? I felt myself falling into the same hole that I lived through for 7 years with Lost, which is this thing is just going to keep going down the same path of not answering questions and bringing up more and more mysteries about why are they doing this and what are they doing. And every conversation Jeffrey Wright has with Evan Rachel Wood just confuses the hell out of me.
I would say yes, because J.J. Abrams is involved in this. However,
and there's always a however in life.
Jonathan Nolan is also involved in this. And if you watched Person of Interest on CBS, which just wrapped up, that show illustrates how he can take a multi-season complex idea and have a narrative that runs through and a goal in mind. And he sat down and said they have planned out how this story is going to go, assuming they get the seasons they want for it. I trust Jonathan Nolan to do what's right and be able to shrug off the J.J. Abrams more and more questions, because he won me over with what he did with the Person of Interest.
Well, maybe you're right. You'll have to tell me, because I ain't watching anymore.
Okay.
I've also given up on Masters of Sex.
That's fine.
Which I had watched through, I don't know, is it in season 4 or 5 now?
4 or 5. I think it's 5 now, maybe.
All right. Well, I had watched it through season 4 in the first couple of episodes of this season, and I don't need to know anything else about the relationship between William Masters and Virginia Johnson and the people who work around them. It seems like the show is circling back around on itself, and it just...
Shows need to know when to walk away, I think.
Yeah. That would have been a great one-season show. Or 2 seasons, maybe. But after that, it has gone downhill, and I finally have decided to chuck it out the window. And the other thing I want to mention TV-related is I saw this week that A&E is planning in early next year to do a live cop episode. Not cops, but they want to do a special 2-hour show where they put the cameras in the car of 2 cops who are on patrol and show you live what it's like when these guys get in that car and go out to do their job. Here's the problem they're going to have.
They're not going to...
There may not be anything that those cops run into that night. There was a classic episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show 40-plus years ago where she has this idea. Let's put a cameraman in the back of a police car and go out and see what happens. And the first night, nothing happens. The second night, nothing happens. The third night, Lou Grant gets so over-the-top upset about this. What do you mean a police car goes out three nights in a row and we can't get anything to happen? Well, apparently it's kind of quiet in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what A&E is going to run into. The only way to fix that is to stage something.
Which would I think we would see through, I hope.
I would hope so.
Yes.
But why, you know, why not just say, you know what, we're going to send, we'll put cops in car, we'll put cameras in cars with the cops, and we'll end up with some episodes that look like the actual show Cops, which is heavily edited. It's real footage of real cops doing that. We've already seen that.
And
what do we need this for?
Weeks and weeks and weeks for them to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's amazing about Cops is those people have to sign a release to see their face. So these people are being arrested on Cops doing amazingly embarrassing or foolhardy things.
Especially the ones who've decided, you know what, I have to wrestle this cop with my shirt off.
Yes.
So if they sign a release.
They sign the release so their face can be used.
Do they get paid?
No. It just says, hey, we saw you doing this. Otherwise, they just blur out their face. But these people, it's like, yeah, why not? I want my 15 minutes
of fame. I want to be on TV. Oh, yeah.
I want to Yep. But, that was me. I stole my mom's violin and hid out on the top of a trailer for 6 hours. That was me. It's like, that's what it is.
Yeah, they absolutely want that 15 minutes.
Yes.
You know what A&E's hoping for, don't you?
Yeah.
You know they're hoping for a deadly encounter.
Yes.
They want to have something happen that goes horribly wrong, where somebody shoots at the cop shoots back, and somebody ends up... I mean, it's a horrible thing, as we know from experiences in our own town, with people who've ended up dead after these incidents on both sides of the bullets. That's what A&E is hoping for. I'm hoping that they get nothing but boring. I want another Geraldo Rivera Al Capone vault show.
Oh, my goodness.
We're live for 2 hours, and at the end, nothing has happened, and we found nothing.
That was the best. I saw that show. The greatest practical joke happened to me that day during that show.
Really?
Yes. Because I decided, I was at a guy's house, I decided to leave. I said, this is the dumbest, boring show I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I got out into my car, started the car, and this guy comes running out and he says, they're bringing it up. They're bringing it up. You're going to, oh my God, go. I go running in the house with my car still running, and his girlfriend comes walking in. And she goes, oh, I didn't know you were here. I said, well, my car's out in the driveway running. And she goes, no, your car's not out there. I'm like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? And I went out, and my car is not out there. And her boyfriend, John, didn't know anything about it. She knew about it, and she was with a friend. The friend took the car and drove it down the street. And I'm like, and I'm like, I don't know what my license plate number is. I don't know what this is. I'm just going crazy. And
wow.
She kind of winked at John, so he knew. And then all of a sudden, my car comes driving over the hill. I'm like, this is the absolute greatest practical joke
That's ever. The only good thing I've ever heard about Geraldo Rivera's Al Capone vaults.
I know.
Yeah.
That was it.
I know.
And nothing to do with the show.
That's what A&E is going to get from their live cop thing early in 2017. Now, we're around the corner from Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
McGraw's favorite holiday. I don't know if you knew that. When we get to Halloween, usually there's discussion of scary movies.
Yes.
I'm not a scary person. I'm a scary movie person. I don't go to see horror movies. There was a time when the scariest movie ever, if you ask people, oh, The Exorcist.
No.
But that was 1974. Since then, movies have gotten a hell of a lot scarier.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. And some movies that were scary back then are still. I think the greatest horror movie of all time is The Shining. That's just a great movie. I will watch it any time of year.
Okay.
I'll probably watch that movie 3 times every year, at least.
Wow.
I love it that much.
I was going to say the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's great. It's very gory, but it's not creepy.
Not the remakes. It was low budget.
Yeah, and it was still gory enough.
It was scary and gory.
Yes, and especially the last scene when it makes up, Leatherface is on the loose.
Yeah.
You're like, That was great. That was a fun little thing to put in.
That's why I enjoyed that Geico Super Bowl commercial they did with the guy in the leather face mask with the chainsaw. And the teenagers come running in and hide in his barn.
Running into the slaughterhouse.
That was great. So yes. What would you put on a list of the scariest movies?
The Shining I would put there, and Halloween. Those are my two go-tos from back in the day. Then we've got to go a bit more recent. I think Scream is a great horror movie. It's got enough inside jokes and is still scary. Let the Right One In. Let Me In was the American remake. Let the Right One In is, I'm going to forget what country it is. Sweden, maybe. It's a vampire story. A bullied 12-year-old is befriended by this young girl, and it's this weird relationship, her sticking up for him. It's just creepy, and it's sort of a slow burn. I really like it. Let the Right One In, or if you want to see the American version that I don't think is quite as good, but you don't have to deal with subtitles, is Let Me In, is what that's called. Paranormal Activity is a newer one that it still scares me. I know when all the jumps are. It still scares me.
Didn't you tell me that's one of the most profitable movies ever made?
Yeah, it cost next to nothing and made, I don't even know, $100-something million.
Wow.
Yeah, It costs them, hardly anything. Jaws, I think, is still really scary.
Oh, yeah.
And it's odd to watch. I don't think scary movies should be relegated to just October. There's nothing saying you can't be scared in June or July, but this kind of flips that, and you're looking at summer, and it's
Jaws
still
is a movie
scary.
That had a huge cultural impact.
Yes.
Because
it almost put towns out of business.
Yes, beach towns.
Yes, because no one wanted to go.
Yeah.
The Thing from 1982. About a shape-shifting alien down at a research station in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm. John Carpenter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The score for that is great.
By the way, what's the difference between The Thing and The Fog? It's the same movie, isn't it?
Sort of. Yeah, The Fog is... There's a fog, though, and it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Good explanation.
There you go. The Omen from 1976 still holds up.
Okay.
Still scary, still creepy. The Ring... People forget that was one that had an enormous cultural impact.
Let me see. The Ring. Was that the one where people watch a VHS tape and end up dead?
Yes, and they're supposed to release Rings, which is like a sequel to it, this year, but it got delayed, which does not bode well for it.
You know why? Because the writer watched the original one, died.
Really?
Yeah. There was a movie on, and I was watching it last night. I think it was TNT, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of the goofy movie, but it was people in an elevator, and the lights would go out.
Devil,
that's it. Yeah, and someone, and they're at the...
produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Security guards are watching this, and...
Yes, they're trying to get out of a stopped elevator, and one of them in there is the devil.
You know, I remember watching something on VHS and wanted to kill myself. That was Leonard Part 6, a Bill Cosby movie.
28 Days Later, also from 2002, had fast zombie-like creatures. If you want another more recent one, Wolf Creek from 2005. This takes everything about a horror movie heavy, think Leatherface or Michael Myers. It takes and strips all the other stuff away from it. It is a very simple movie, a big bad guy doing bad things to teenagers, essentially, like trying to get rid of them. And then from... 2014, The Babadook. It's a young family. The woman comes to realize that her son's idea of a childhood creature that's bad living under his bed is real.
Mm.
It sounds hokey. Watch it. And The Host. It was at one time the most profitable South Korean movie ever made. Americans were dumping chemicals in a river. It turned into a creature that came out and started biting people. The Host. It's been done a bunch of times since then, but this is, go watch The Host. It's good. You haven't seen it, and it might even be available on Netflix right now.
Okay.
So, The Host.
All right. One last movie-related story I have to share with you today. We're all fans of the classic mockumentary, This is Spinal Tap, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Directed by Rob Reiner, Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, Harry Shearer. They made up Spinal Tap. They wrote the movie. They improvised the movie. They wrote the songs. They performed the songs. They owned 40% of the net profits from the film. How much money do you think they have each made in the 40 years since they made Spinal Tap?
Oh.
I'm sorry, 32 years.
Each?
32 years. Total. Total between the four of them.
Oh, between the four of them.
Yes.
$65 million.
$2
million. Wow. I'll say $10
million. Under $200.
What?
because I said net bombed. Profits. No, no, it was successful, and it's still successful.
But they can finagle those numbers however they want to.
Yes, it's not gross revenue, it's net revenue, and this is an ongoing problem in Hollywood. Company. And according to Vivendi, the four creators' share of total worldwide merchandising income between 1984 and 2006 was $81, and the income from music sales was $98.
Oh, man.
And so Harry Shearer has filed a $125 million lawsuit against them. Now, Harry Shearer has plenty of money because he's been on The Simpsons since that show started, and he's done lots of other things. But this is a clear case of a Hollywood studio ripping off the people who it owes a lot of money to. 40% of Spinal Tap comes to a lot of money, probably more than $125 million. But the fact that they got less than $200, what a slap in the face.
That's unbelievable.
All right, that's our showbiz stuff for today. Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads of the News next hour on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, let's get a check on traffic right now. Here's Tim Wiley.
All right, we're on our way to check out an accident on southbound 141 at Graboid Bluffs, and it looks like traffic backed up close to Bowles. You've got an accident on Telegraph at Black Forest. I didn't get a direction there. We'll head there also. They looks like they have cleared the accident, or at least everything's off on the shoulder now, westbound 44 at Southwest. Now, things are jamming up between Grand and Kings Highway through about Hampton, and then things start opening up. We have westbound Highway 70 was a pretty good run until you hit Highway A out through Wentzville Parkway. Westbound Highway 40, you've got a pretty good run from Highway 270 all the way out until you hit Wing Haven. You hit the brakes, it's going to be slow to stop and go all the way out through Highway 70. And just at Prospect, you've got an accident that was moved off to the left shoulder. And this report brought to you by Subway. Friday is more than Friday. Now at Subway, Friday's Tuna Day. That's today's 356-inch sub of the day. It's a great sub for a great price. There's a different 356-inch sub every day only at Subway. I'm Tim Weiland with your Vincent Mortgage Airborne Traffic.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095.
How would you like fresh chicken breasts or a veggie salad as part of your vending options at your business? Well, it's possible thanks to Dynamic Vending. It's a brand new concept here in St. Louis. They've been around 25 years and have revolutionized the vending machine business. Dynamic Vending, with their state-of-the-art kitchen, will deliver fresh food to your vending machine every single day. Don't believe me? Call them and find out for yourself. DynamicVending.com. It's too good to be true. Dynamic Vending.
Hunters, visit G&W Meat for your deer processing. That's G&W Meat and Bavarian Style Sausage Company. G&W processes.